This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Slow down there in West Hollywood. They're dropping the speeds. A family terrorized in Whittier. Home invasion. First, though, this fight between the governor and Norwalk.
Governor said Norwalk and cities and counties around the state, you better build more affordable housing, homeless housing. And Norwalk has this moratorium in place, and they've doubled down on that. They say no, Governor Newsom. Let's get the latest live from our John Baird.
It's not really clear if this is a case of NIMBYism, not in my backyard, or finances, or both. But Norwalk has extended its ban on new homeless shelters, supportive housing, and the like, despite getting a letter from the state and despite threats from a livid Governor Newsom. The mayor said before the council meeting last night that Norwalk has done a lot to help the homeless, but they're not getting any Measure H money to help pay for homeless services. And some residents agree with the moratorium. They're tired of the filth and the problems.
We've seen a lot of hanging out, a lot of loitering, a lot of stuff that people don't need to see when they're going to go eat with their families. So thank you very much for doing what you're doing.
Other residents, though, think the city is making the wrong move and should be helping people on the street, not issuing bans on homeless shelters.
I think I would really like to come out in opposition of this moratorium just because it looks bad.
And some people think the city should be doing more to help the homeless. Either way, there could be a battle brewing with the state. California officials have already leaned on a number of cities over building affordable housing, and the state seems ready to lean on Norwalk as well.
Home in Monrovia destroyed by a fire. Neighbors say an explosion.
All of a sudden, the house blew up. Full flames, just boom.
Talking to KCAL News yesterday afternoon, Monrovia Fire got there. Large flames threatening another nearby home. That one damaged a little bit before crews could put it out. One person missing, believed to be the tenant of the home that was completely gone. Cause of the fire, not known.
Drive-through West Hollywood could soon get slower because city leaders are proposing lowering speed limits to reduce accidents. In most cases, speed limits would be lowered by about 5 miles per hour. Make the speed limit in some areas of West Hollywood 20 miles per hour. Comes as local commuters are bracing for possibly more congestion created by the upcoming Fountain Avenue bike lanes. From 2018 to 2022, speeding was a factor in almost 12% of the bad accidents around West Hollywood. And it's not clear when the city council will consider the speed limit plan.
Home invasion in Whittier. This is an 11:30 at night home on Leffingwell Avenue. The homeowner says she was in the shower when two guys with guns broke in. They didn't let her get dressed. They hit her in the head with a gun. Her two teens had to sneak out the window to try and go get help. They were wearing masks, demanded money and jewelry, and then took off in a car. Woman was treated at the scene, minor head injury. She says she's not happy because it took 20 minutes for the cops to get there. After her kids did call 911, Whittier police telling KCAL News some confusion on whether the officers or the LA County Sheriff's deputy should respond. And that was a delay, and they're looking into that.
A little bit more this morning on that brutal attack on a valet at Barney's Beanery in West Hollywood.
The attack on Efren Zarazua, who goes by the name Frank, left him in critical condition with head trauma and other injuries. Sergeant Omar Luvano with the West Hollywood Sheriff's Station says detectives have determined that suspect, a black man, possibly a transient in his 30s, may have attacked two other people prior to the assault on Zarazua. They've also managed to access surveillance footage from the area and have a number of digital pictures showing the face of the possible suspect.
A lot of times those cameras aren't really too good in the way of quality. You're saying that's a different thing on this one?
Yes, this is going to be a better quality video, color and whatnot. We're able to get a better view of the suspect and identifying the suspect.
You can see those photos on our website, knxnews.com. In West Hollywood, I'm Pete DeBatrio, KNX News 97.1 FM.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by theloanexchange.com for all your home loan needs.
So the Fed's expected to announce the first rate cut in more than 4 years. A little later this morning, still unknown if it's going to be the typical quarter point or maybe a half point. We talked about it this morning, the rate cut and the impact with Georgia Gwinnett College economics professor, Dr. Philip Vinson.
For those who want the bigger one, hoping for the bigger one, why is that? Because we've talked over the last few weeks or so about some worries that maybe since it has been more than 4 years, that the Fed really waited too long to do this and things are starting to get away from them. Are you part of that camp?
I'm really more part of the camp that maybe they waited too long to raise rates to address inflation. So I'm really more part of that camp that maybe we should have addressed it sooner. Obviously, hindsight is 2020. At this point, I think we're in a good spot because inflation has come down to 2.5% as of August. So the Fed can largely declare victory, although they did not reach their target of 2%. They have successfully addressed inflation, and unemployment is still at 4.2%. So at this point, they're starting to weigh their options between addressing inflation even further or addressing the fears that maybe unemployment is starting to tick up and addressing fears of a recession.
Yeah, I guess the headlines are going to blare rate cut, right, in all caps. But that doesn't mean it's like a total victory. We're still kind of on the balance beam. We're still like Simone Biles at this point.
Yeah, as far as the objective measurements of how we determine whether our economy is doing well, things are going really well. Inflation is low. Unemployment is low. And so if you're the Federal Reserve, you have to make this trade-off between do we want inflation to be lower or do we want to boost the labor market? This is the trade-off they're always facing when they choose the interest rate. When inflation was really high, it was a pretty obvious choice to address inflation, especially since that's what the public has been so frustrated with over the past couple of years. But now that you're starting to see at least some labor markets start to have some layoffs, so a little bit of softening in the labor market, not too bad. That sort of changed the calculus for them, and now they're starting to shift their priority to labor markets.
When you cut the rates, what happens? Do like a top level for me and then lower where the rest of us are at, because everybody talks about that trickle down.
Okay, so the big thing when you cut at interest rates is you make it cheaper to borrow. That is just the top line thing that's going to happen. So for consumers, the big thing that's going to happen is borrowing, especially for if you're going to buy a house or buy a car, those are the big ticket items, or maybe even your credit card rate, those should be expected to go down. In fact, they've already been going down in anticipation of this rate cut. So you should expect a little bit of relief if you're thinking about buying a house, that your mortgage payment's probably going to go down a reasonable amount, maybe $100-ish or so, depending on where you are. So that's what consumers should expect. And then the reason why it helps labor markets is because most of the time when businesses make investments, when they do research and development, when they build a factory, they're also going to be effectively borrowing money, and a lower interest rate means that all of that is cheaper. So when businesses want to expand, they're going to borrow money. That's cheaper now. They're going to be more inclined to do it. And so that's going to come with it, more employment and more opportunities like that.
That is Georgia Gwinnett College economics professor, Dr. Philip Vinson. Sean Combs is going to try again today to get released on bail after his indictment. It's probably not going to go well. And we're learning more about the pager bombs targeting Hezbollah. Coming up, 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Starting today, you can renew that passport online. State Department says it expects about 5 million Americans to use the new program every year. Adults 25 or older who have a passport will no longer have to fill out all the paperwork and send a check and use the mail, make an appointment, all that stuff. You can even take your own photo. No selfies. It has to be against a white background. Needs to be recent. More on this with Peter Greenberg, our travel editor, coming up a few minutes away.
Entirely avoidable. That's what the Justice Department is saying about that bridge collapse in Baltimore. They're now suing the owners of the cargo ship that crashed into the bridge earlier this year. The DOJ accusing the company that owns the Dolly container ship of knowingly letting a dangerous, unseaworthy vessel onto the water. The filing details mechanical problems with the ship and what it calls a Band-Aid approach the company took to fixing them.
Sean D. Combs in the detention center in Brooklyn. Lawyers trying to get him out of prison again this afternoon, appealing his bail denial in the racketeering, conspiracy, sex trafficking case. CBS News legal analyst Ricky Kleeman says prosecutors will lay out the reasons to keep him behind bars.
You have someone who not only has the opportunity, if he's waiting a long time for trial, to continue to abuse with the allegations in this case, kicking, choking, dragging, drugging, and you have the continued opportunity to try to intimidate witnesses and affect the legal process so that they won't testify against him.
If it's denied, he goes back to the detention center. In the special housing units where inmates who require extra protection are kept kept away from the other prisoners.
Harvey Weinstein has a court date today on some new charges. Here's CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The arraignment will clear up a problem that resulted in a state appeals court overturning Weinstein's original conviction. The appeals court ruled that the jury heard evidence that should have been inadmissible because it involved allegations from other women who never brought charges. The jury might have inferred Weinstein's guilt given the similar allegations. The question now is, will those other women become part of the prosecution's official case?
For the first time, a drug dealer being held civilly liable for somebody's death. Man from Riverside serving a 9-year prison sentence for fentanyl possession. Temecula woman's father suing because he didn't think the prison sentence was long enough. They were awarded almost $6 million 5 years ago. Dealer filed for bankruptcy. Family secured the judgment in court on Monday. She was sold what she thought was a prescription painkiller, part of a 60 family group also suing Snapchat for its role in the distribution of deadly narcotics.
A fertility clinic that's been featured on shows like Keeping Up with the Kardashians is being sued, allegedly, for throwing out the couple's embryos. Here's Natalie Tavidian.
Marissa Calhoun, the patient in this lawsuit, says her initial treatment at Reproductive Partners Medical Group, or RPMG, began in 2021 when she sought to preserve her fertility because of her endometriosis. She says she had her eggs retrieved and frozen, and doctors created embryos. The couple says a few days later, they received a call from their doctor saying an employee had thrown away their embryos.
I am fortunate to have an amazing partner in Stephen who has stood by me through it all. But the pain of RPMG's betrayal remains, and the wound is deep. Our embryos represented our dream of a family together. Losing them is our worst nightmare. Sharing this story is one of the hardest things that I've ever done.
In a written statement, RPMG says in part that it's been communicating with the patients since the day it occurred, and say they confidently assured every one of their patients that their eggs and embryos were not impacted during this isolated incident. They say they have a long-standing reputation for high quality and have helped bring 25,000 babies into the world.
Federal judge in Oregon set to decide whether Kroger and Albertsons, a big grocery merger, should move forward. Federal Trade Commission, 9 states, including this one, seeking a preliminary injunction to stop it. Attorneys from both sides presented the closing arguments yesterday. Kroger claims the merger would lead to immediately lower prices. For us, FTC says now it's going to kill competition, harm the workers. Judge didn't give a timeline, but she says she's going to work pretty fast.
Now to the exploding pager story. Multiple explosions happening today at the site of a funeral for 3 Hezbollah members and a child killed by exploding pagers. The day before, other areas of Lebanon have reported explosions, with Hezbollah TV saying that this is the result of pagers, some call them walkie-talkies, detonating. Hezbollah vowing to retaliate. At least a dozen were killed in the attack yesterday. Health minister says almost 3,000 people were injured. Her CBS News correspondent, Elizabeth Palmer.
Seema Shein is ex-head of research at Mossad, Israel's foreign intelligence agency.
I think they will retaliate, yeah, no question.
Seema Shein told me that this was such a sophisticated piece of sabotage. The saboteurs got right inside Hezbollah's equipment supply lines. And so she says it has to have been the work of a state.
Pagers blew up simultaneously after getting a message. The New York Times reports Israel planted the explosives and a detonation switch next to the battery in each pager. Israel has refused to comment on the explosions.
20 minutes of nonstop news. You got it right here. You can renew that passport online starting today. And also Hawaii and Alaska, that's been approved, the takeover. How's that going to benefit you if you want to go to the islands? Live now with KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg.
Hi, Peter. Good morning.
And good morning, guys.
Tell me about it. Things easy with renewing the passports? That's exciting.
Well, in theory, it is. They did a pilot program last year with the State Department, allowing people to try to renew their passports online. And the program worked. So now they're rolling it out for all passports, meaning new renewals and applications. But the return time is still about 4 to 5 weeks, which is about what's going to be at this time of the year if you just do it the normal way. And my suggestion is, you know, when in doubt, go to manual. I'm a big fan of doing it at a passport agency or through a passport office. That way you can get all your questions answered. I'm still not totally on board on the online yet.
How many people you think going to mess up the photo-taking routine and send in the selfie or something, and then it's going to be an extra 4 or 5 weeks on top of their 4 or 5 weeks because they're going to be like, no, man, you did it wrong.
You read my mind. Exactly.
All right. Alaska and Hawaiian getting together. What is this going to mean, and when is it actually going to happen?
It's going to happen very soon. The last remaining hurdle was cleared yesterday when the U.S. Department of Transportation said they had no objections to it. It was already approved by the U.S. Department of Justice. So it's going to move really, really quickly. The one thing that's, you know, obviously it's done with conditions. And one of the conditions is, which I think you'll find interesting, is that they cannot eliminate mileage that you've earned on one carrier when they become one. it has the same value, meaning that they can't devalue the miles, and that they have to be able to approve the mileage for the redemption levels have to stay the same. How long that will last is anybody's guess, but at least the USDOT thought about all the people who had earned all those miles who were worried about whether or not they're going to be able to redeem them.
What do we think is going to happen with the pricing? You know, because Southwest is like always the cheapest to get over there, and American and United are kind of pacing each other. And then every time I look, Hawaiian's the highest sometimes, but they've got easier flights. The timing is better. Alaska, last time I looked, was actually way cheaper than Hawaiian was.
Well, here's the problem. There's too much capacity in the market. You've got every airline flies to Hawaii, including Alaska, Southwest, Hawaiian, American, United, and Delta. This merger, if you will, is probably going to reduce frequency. And when you reduce frequency, airfares have nowhere to go but up.
So we had a story yesterday about how we're coming up on the time of year to get the best fares for Thanksgiving and Christmas travel. Do you believe that, or should people just already have those fares?
Well, when you talk about Thanksgiving, that's the real killer, because everybody knows that Wednesday before Thanksgiving is the worst day to travel. And any day that you procrastinate between now and that Wednesday, those airfares are probably going to go up about 4% a day. So now's the time to get it done. Christmas is another issue because people stagger their departures, they stagger their returns, so you have a lot more flexibility. But for Thanksgiving, do not procrastinate.
KNX travel editor Peter Greenberg.